The world is how it should be. Talked up the cause in working man's bars. Oh, but now nobody knows that. They say you're crazy to believe it. You better cover up your t-shirts about the war and ecology. You know they used to trade car repair for haircuts, using no money, work together, plant the garden, paint the town, cooperate in community, raise each other up when the country was down. And Upton Sinclair said, well, only seems fair. Oh, but now nobody knows that. They say you're crazy to believe it. You better cover up your button about cooperatives. That's not the way we do things here. Come a long way, baby. We got a long, 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 long way to go. Sometimes seem like we've been going backwards, and we got so very little to show. Oh, but I've seen people talking in their cars on the phone, passing people without any home. Now they're rioting on the ghetto block, and the farm is on the auction block. I've seen friends and neighbors lying to each other. I've seen the best minds of my generation lying to me, and I think there's more. I know there's more. I think there's more. I know there's more.
And that's, again, Dave Lippmann from his album I Hate Walmart, I Think There's More. Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM. Phone line, it's open, 427-3772. Talking about Arnie Leff and the problem of no challenging of a city that apparently will give the police department anything it wants. Well, you can't even get it together to find a campground for homeless people, a living wage for its workers, a downtown plaza for people who want public spaces there. It's a city that has all kinds of needs that are being preempted by police priorities, that pursues the drug war, even as it destroys the rights of people, destroys people's lives. And this is something that hopefully you'll be bringing up to these candidates in as close and strong a fashion as you can. Just being kind of, ah gee, ah shucks, what do you think, giving them a kind of an opportunity to roll out their standard boilerplate responses is not something we want to do this time. We want to raise issues so that the community will take up where the candidates fail, and we can pretty much predict, I think, even at the beginning, that the candidates are going to fail. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be positive, because we need to succeed. That's what we need to do. And it's the we in the community that's going to succeed, not these people that are running for political office at city council. With the exception of Steve Argue, as I've said, who's come out for these positions before and has gone to jail for them, I don't think these folks are willing to even take the first steps on this road.
Hi, you're on the air.
You're on free radio.
Hey, Robert. This is the man in the box.
Hey, Mr. Box.
And hey, you know, I'm. Somebody brought a big concern to me. I was talking to one of the customers that comes into my work, and he said he's talking about the commute, you know, and about going in to making it easy and for people from San Jose to come over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, since you got people coming over, why not chop up a few jobs to cater, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And bring them over. But then okay, they get a little settled, you know, and they want to throw up a house here in Santa Cruz or take over, maybe even renovate a house, you know. And then all of a sudden, housing becomes an issue to all the people that are saying they're pushing their income to pay for these outrageously priced houses. And all of a sudden, housing becomes an issue. Where are we going to put them all? Where are we going to put all these dot-comers? Where are we going to put them all?
Exactly.
And then it becomes an issue. I mean, does that... It's both ends, isn't it?
It's an issue, but unfortunately, it's not an issue for the city council candidates. There's not one person who's talking about rent control, for instance, that I know about.
Right.
Not one person. So,
if it was in that capacity, there are people that panic when they say public transit from San Jose to here, affordable transit, running Caltrans to Watsonville. How dare you? You'll take my house away. And then how dare you bring homeless people affordable housing? And how dare you lift restrictions on multiple room housing? You know? How dare you do that? You know, where are we going to put all the students? We already got housing problems. Then they use the housing problem. Then they admit that there's a housing problem. When they admit, only in situations like that, are they willing to admit that there's a housing problem.
What's your thought about this, caller? Anything you want to propose? Or
about, like...
dealing with the housing problem.
As far as, like, commuters being commuting from San Jose to the Santa Cruz County being more easy?
Well, as far as getting some housing for us here, that...
Well, I'm telling you this. If the computer firms and the tech businesses come in like they're predicting by, I believe it was on the news, they said to 2005 that they were expecting a big boom in tech, and they said things that played into that would be the connecting transit. And there's another thing. I can't quite remember what it was. It was an interesting angle, I thought. It was catchy. And San Jose said, oh, just imagine the ease of people coming into Santa Cruz from San Jose. And the Santa Cruz representative said, how are we just going to plug these people into Santa Cruz when there's a housing problem as it is? And I looked at that, and I said, man, you know what? I could almost hear this guy saying at a homeless meeting, what housing problem?
So you support this transportation between the two cities or not?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
I'd like to see Santa Cruz a little. I mean, I had to go over to San Jose to catch a plane, and it's akin to traveling to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
At least to say into orbit on it, but on a Saturday or Sunday.
Really hard to do.
Oh, really hard. It's hardly user friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a total of $875.
And you think that's a good deterrent to try to stop the dot-comers from coming over here more easily? Is that the idea?
Perhaps. It's
a mixed bag because it also, I think, I like mass transport generally, but I don't know. I got a roll on you, caller. Is there more you want to say?
Yeah, just one thing. And then they talked about the making 17 Santa Cruz to San Jose toll, and how that, he goes, he even, just, I wish I caught his name, mentioned that, and that's going to keep the low-income people that are barely scraping to pay gas from going to San Jose to work?
Hear you. Yeah, that sounds like a tax on, you know, again, making it a gentrified area.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, caller.
Everybody wants extreme solutions, you know. I want to see everything taken into consideration, just like everybody else does.
Okay.
But I know that the more the issues come up, the more choked it gets.
Thanks, caller.
All right, Robert.
So, now let's play a bit of the last Citizens Police Review Board hearing. This is a hearing that most of you, even those of you who perhaps know about the monthly hearings of this rather bogus little group, don't know about. Because what the Citizens Police Review Board does, it has public hearings every month, generally, except it also has private hearings, closed hearings, where It goes in and actually looks at the IA report, the Police Department's Internal Affairs Investigation, since the Citizens Police Review Board doesn't investigate complaints against the police department. The police department itself investigates complaints against itself, which doesn't, of course, make for a very good process. You would, I think, agree with me. But they look at these IA reports, which generally dump the complaints and say they're not valid, and then they make a ruling, and then that ruling goes to the police chief, and in the rare instances where the Police Review Board actually upholds a complaint, the police chief, often as not, doesn't. So they have what's called closed hearings, but you can speak before the closed hearing begins, and we're going to hear one of the processes before a closed hearing after this call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Brosda.
Hey, Chris Brosda, how are you doing?
How are you doing? I'm just printing up from my web, csimabue.home.mine.
So, Chris, you are you're a man who's been homeless yourself for a long time. You're not now, though, right?
That's correct.
And you're a person who's been very active in pressing for civil rights for homeless people.
Well, I know a lot about it from your writing, and I'm trying to follow it from that at this distance because...
I know that you've been interested in listening to Free Radio, and you're probably not in a place where you can get it, right? No, it may not be the fault of your radio. It may be the fault of the limitations of our signal. I think we're 40 watts now.
40 watts?
Yeah, which isn't too much.
That's a lot.
But there,
one half when it begins.
But there is an option for you, because I have confirmed with our wizard of electronics, the V-Man, that
V-Man?
V as in Victory Man.
Victory
that
Man.
The web page you can get to www.microradio.net/FRSC, which I think is also, in case you didn't get all that, is on the voicemail. The voicemail number to call.
Microradio.what?
It's microradio.net/FRSC. The thing to do is to call
/FRSC.
Yeah, the thing to do for all you listeners out there who don't have that is to call the voicemail at 427-4523. And you should also know, Chris, that once, and listeners, I've repeated this, but I'll say it again because I think it's helpful for those who are not within range of the station, and there may be a time when all the rest of you listeners aren't within range. Once you get to that website, you click on MP3 streaming audio.
MP3 streaming audio.
Yeah, and that takes you to a page. That takes you to a page that gives directions on how to download the player, and then you can, I'm told, I haven't done this, get the Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Real audio player.
And you can get Free Radio Santa Cruz wherever you happen to be if you have access to a computer and the internet. So, caller, what's cooking? What can we do for you?
Well, I just printed my latest, which is at this suffix is now, now.txt, and I'm going to read it, or I'm going to look at it at least. Or, and it's to commit to elect Steve Argue and clear up a misunderstanding of some sort. The pages I have it and try to get it, and I'll give you the address later, is the quote, is the release, the title is the Committee to Elect Steve Argus, San Cruz City Council.
Rather than this, can you kind of summarize what you're trying to put out here that perhaps
right,
might interest
here it
people?
Is, quote, the release of the contents of the page has been, and I am the fully and solely responsible for its contents, end quote. And that's one half page down here. No,
you know, Chris, the problem is nobody can see the page you're talking about.
Yeah, if they go to simabue.home.mindsprings.com.
Okay, let me say this.
You didn't let me finish the address.
You can give it the address again.
Simabue, the spelling is C-I-M-A-B-U-E.
Right.
.home.mindspring.com/.
Right.
Now.
Nobody's.
You're not allowing me to finish. Let me finish the address.
Chris, what I'm going to say...
now.txt.
Yeah, well, Chris, I have a problem here because, see,
you
on
do.
The... On,
yeah,
yeah.
You do have a...
On the air, Chris,
yeah.
The problem is that people don't have a pencil and can't take all that information
I
down.
Okay, so.
And so what I'm... Hang on. What I'm going to suggest people do is they either call you at your phone number...
464-0501.
Okay.
And that will have the
right,
email
so,
and... webpage.
There you go.
And please do someone verify and copy back to me that this is possible to reach me. Now, I haven't heard a single word from from purported, and I mean alleged, students up at campus. 50 articles I did last year, and not a single response.
Right.
So,
well, so if people
what
are...
Is this, what
well,
is it,
Chris,
what
if,
is
if people are... Hang
about?
On a second. Hang on. If people yeah. are interested in calling you, they can call you at 464-0501.
We got it.
And I should say that I did receive an email from Steve Argue this morning, and he says he dissociates himself entirely from you. So insofar as you are representing yourself as being any committee to represent Steve Argue,
yeah,
that is your...
Let me go to email now. And
that is your own... construction. So, but
okay.
but I'm not. So you are a
I
man who's. Hang on a second, Chris. You are a man who's done a lot of good.
Clarification from DeGreen Silver.
Hang on. You are a man who's done a lot of
Let's
good.
See, Becky John. Remus,
okay, I'm going to kind of end this one, Chris.
There
is there anything
is.
Else you want to say?
Read it now. Hello.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
This is from Johnson. Now I don't know. I don't have any.
No. Is there anything you want to say,
no,
Chris?
Okay. Pass it on to me what Steve has said because all I have is verification.
I'll talk to you later. Anything else for the radio audience?
Sure. I'm doing physics in the meantime.
Right.
The address and yoga.
Mm-hmm.
The address where I'm writing my physics is /8.14.htm.
Chris, this doesn't really concern folks out here on issues of homelessness. So
okay, homelessness. Hello?
Yeah.
I got a 4-point
okay.
plan.
Go ahead.
Okay. I read it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a lot on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Chaotic methods. Here it is. 4 points. We need to house 500 people, 300 inside, 200 out in the campsite. The campsite will be 1 mile north of the very long now temporary homeless garden project out near a place where university elitist bourgeois brats and crypto anarcho-syndicalists study and or conservative social fascists, neo-Nazis, whoever is up there at the campus. I can't believe a homeless garden project out there at 1 mile north.
Try to be concise, Chris. You have a 4-point plan. Let's get to the second point.
Give me a time limit now, and I'll meet it. God, I have a clock. I've got a watch now. It's 1 o'clock, it's marked. Okay. Tell me how many seconds I have.
Take another minute.
Okay. I'm looking at 40 seconds on mark, and beginning. So it's a 4-point plan to have number one, 300 people permanently semi-permanently as homeless are, but capacity for 500 total, 300 in a permanent shelter at River and Highway 1 Street. And if you go there, the largest building there, it's $1 million, about 95. Okay, park the vans. Park the vans, the committee, the CCH, park it. Stop using the armory. Build a permanent shelter for these people so that they can have reasonable hours instead of absurd, inane wake-up time at 5 a.m. coldest part of the day. That's designed to wear people down and get them to leave and move on and all. And there are 2 to 8 million homeless now. That's plan one. I mentioned plan two is a second part of four-part plan is a tent city up 1 mile north and of size no larger than 1 acre. And we had it, 95, 96, 175 to 200 people camped at River and Highway 1 comfortably. It was as ideal as I have ever seen, and I have seen it, you know. I have been out looking and stayed in only one in Phoenix, who's a brother of Schmidt is running for office out there, and the legislature is about a mile out from the tent city. And I walked in, the governor was being...
Stick to the point, Chris. Point three?
Okay, point three. Governor was... I'll close it. It's 10 seconds. I thought the governor was being impeached, and that's what you need to do with the city council, impeach them and get term limits because these people have to be...
Okay, Chris,
moved.
Your time is up.
Number three.
And I thank you for being on the air.
Hey, thanks for half the message.
And again, for those who'd like to get the rest of that 4-point plan, and we did give Chris actually 2 minutes, another minute, it's 464-0501. I hate to be Rotkin-like or Sugar-like in cutting people off, but Chris has been generous to give us his phone number. If you want to reach him, that's the place to reach him. And I think Chris has a lot of good ideas. I just sometimes it's hard to, my patience lags in the expression of those ideas, and we are kind of time sensitive here on the air. So again, you want to reach Chris and get the specifics of his campground proposal, and I don't think they're bad proposals. 464-0501. And also I want to reiterate, Chris, who sometimes represented himself as being some sort of official with the, I don't know, Steve Argue campaign, is not. He's a supporter of Steve Argue, but he's in no way officially representative of the campaign. He represents himself and his own point of view. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name is Robert Norse, and I'm going to play you now a bit of the Citizens Police Review Board mini-hearing. They hold it in their offices at 915 Cedar Street. They were considering three complaints in closed session, and when they closed down, they kicked all the public out, made their private decisions, and we'll talk about that in a moment. In fact, we already have, but I'll remind those of you who've forgotten. But you're going to hear the public's input. The public didn't know about this. It isn't in the newspapers. It isn't generally known. You have to be, in fact, connected to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, or involved in HUF work, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, to even have heard about it, or perhaps have listened to this radio show, because the Citizens Police Review Board isn't really interested in meaningful control of the police. They're just interested in pursuing whatever schedule they have at the moment, and as we can see, their head of the board is now using his office to climb to political power on the city council, just as Michael Hernandez did before in 1996. So let's hear this hearing when the public actually did get in a little bit to talk about some of the complaints in the brief window that is allowed before they close down the hearing and evict all the public. And again, this happens in the offices at the 915 Cedar Street.
Having these meetings delayed 5 months has already, I think, significantly burdened further progress on this issue, and also tends to make it, obscures it for the ordinary citizen in terms of an election issue. People don't know what's going on. They don't come to the meetings. It hasn't been reported in the papers. And for this board to be strengthened, what you need is to have the issues brought out as vigorously as possible. You can't do this without hearings and meetings. Goes without saying. So I'm just concerned. We're a week later. I've heard from the chair that there's been no apparent communication yet with the board members who didn't make this meeting, and with a number of those who did, to schedule a new meeting. We have a well-paid individual, an attorney coming down from Palo Alto to help out with this process.
And what I'm referring to in this oral communications period is their failure to meet with the mayors and the city council on real changes in the police review board.
To think that there isn't that much motivation to proceed with this process if people can't make it to the meetings, and then if the meetings, once not made, are not rescheduled promptly. So that's a concern of mine. The second concern for a matter not on the agenda is a report. We had a meeting of the homeless working group 2 hours ago in Michael Schmidt's office. This is a weekly meeting that he hosts about homeless concerns. I want to invite homeless board members to come tomorrow to the County Board of Supervisors to speak at 9 o'clock at Oral Communications on the fifth floor of the county building, where Michael Schmidt will be asking for safe sleeping zones for homeless people in the county at Emmeline Street. And I know this board has approved the Homeless Issues Task Force's final report, and in that report it actually goes much further and asks for the entire abolition of the camping ordinance until there are safe sleeping zones. But I think the board members, or perhaps a member of this board, come either informally and mention that the Citizens Police Review Board supports those safe sleeping zones. That's something positive. It would take a burden off the police, because police are in a position where they are forced to ticket, harass, move on homeless people by city law. Unless we think this is not being done, and a woman came to that meeting, Kathy Dugan, an hour ago, and told us that a Lieutenant Habey, no less, was engaging in 20-minute harassment cycles of her van. And she said this publicly. She said this before Michael Schmidt. I know she hasn't, I'm not sure she has filed a complaint about this, but I think it's something that this body should know about.
Needless to say, no member of the Citizens Police Review Board has ever appeared before a homeless working group meeting, which, if anyone's interested in attending, happens every Friday at 2 o'clock at the Chamber of Commerce headquarters of the Holiday, which is at the Holiday Inn on Ocean Street. And everyone is welcome. I'm sorry, at 3 o'clock. From 3 to 5 is when this meeting happens. And this next week, this next Friday, we're going to be having 6 council candidates, we hope. They have confirmed, as I understand it, or at least some of them. And they will be talking and being asked questions about homeless issues. So if you want to ask the candidates, 6 of them, Dick Dubrava, and I guess it's the next 5 who are in line. And perhaps my producer, if she's listening, may want to call in. I think he's probably gone off to the Arnie Leff brouhaha, the Arnie Leff kickoff ceremony. I wish it were the kickout ceremony. It ain't. But there will be, if you're interested in who these candidates are, and you have a list of alphabetically the candidates, they're the next 5 after Dick Dubrava. So that's at 3 o'clock Friday at the Holiday Inn. The Homeless Working Group will be discussing those candidates and questioning those candidates. Continuing now with the Citizens Police Review Board and my speech before them and the speeches of other people on issues of the complaints that were coming up.
Thank you for your time on this issue.
Can I ask you a question about tomorrow?
Sure.
The Board of Supervisors starts at 9 o'clock. Is this the first thing on the agenda?
Oral communication is almost the first thing. I think they correct the minutes and they have agenda items are altered around, but yeah, pretty much.
Okay. By 9:10,
I'm just trying to think.
Up there.
I've got a question.
Sure.
At the end of the line, where are they going to have a place for the homeless to
see? It would be a nighttime parking area, because our area is largely cleared out and there's a lot of parking space. There are also restroom facilities nearby.
That's true.
And there's a security force there, so it seemed like a reasonable idea. But it's Jan Butte, whose district that is, said, "Over my dead body." So Michael Schmidt is going to ask her if, how serious she is about that.
Is that Jan Butte?
It is, strangely enough. And the county building is Almquist district, so it's kind of a strange jigsaw puzzle.
What happens when the rains come?
Meaning, what, turns people in vehicles or people outside?
Well, haven't got nothing over their head.
Oh, well, we're talking about, this is only for people in vehicles. So
this
is only a vehicular proposal.
Oh, okay.
So, indeed, your question is very apropos, but this only concerns vehicular people. So. I'm glad, but most of them don't.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? The next items on the agenda relate to the complaints. Are there people here to speak of it? There are.
Note before we get into the complaints, and the complaints were two. There was one about James Ney, by James Ney, and there was one by myself about Chief Belcher. James Ney complained about police officers dragging him away from the city council, losing his property, and using excessive force at a meeting where he was protesting the sleeping ban. And there were witnesses talking about that. My Belcher complaint was about Chief Steve Belcher's lying or misrepresenting the whole issue of a 1998 arrest of Steve Argue for selling street newspapers. He was arrested for selling street newspapers, in fact. It was on the report, though the charge was never levied as such, but it was, in fact, the reason. And Belcher has been consistently misrepresenting that, and I feel that's inappropriate in a police chief and either shows incompetence or malfeasance. Take your pick if he's doing it intentionally or not. Anyway, what I found interesting was a lot of these people in the room are interested in the homeless. I mean, Arnie Leff is interested in homeless people. He has a liberal's concern about the homeless. So he wondered when the supervisors were not going to meet. And by the way, they are meeting at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And everyone who is within ear range of this broadcast is invited to come up to the 5th floor of the county building and join us as we remind the supervisors that they need to set up safe sleeping zones for the homeless, preferably in Emmeline Street. And this has been backed up by a letter from Michael Schmidt and other letters signed by a number of people. And we're trying to get some real pressure on the Board of Supervisors because the county is a larger area than the city and has more opportunities in terms of space for homeless people to sleep. And right now it's largely criminal to sleep in the county on public property. There are some exceptions, but they're hard to find, and generally speaking, roadways where people sleep, it is a crime, according to the latest interpretation of the law by the county council, as conveyed to me by Marty Wormhout's aide, Andy Schifrin. You can roadside rest if you're driving through as a motorist, but if you're inhabiting a vehicle, that is, sleeping in it, if you really need to use it, in other words, you're a criminal. If you're a motorist passing through, that's okay. Strange and ironic. So, we're listening to the Citizens Police Review Board hearing and getting some idea of how bad their process is and what happens to complaints, but how the public, nonetheless, can speak up at these meetings and make a record, because this is not only being recorded for Free Radio, because I had a recording, but it's also being recorded for the Citizens Police Review Board and for future folks in library. There's access to these recordings in the library. So a public record is being made. Arnie Leff, I should remind you, is the person who wanted to make the names of police officers verboten at the in these public tapes, just like Michael Rotkin and just like Scott Kennedy. What's now going to be discussed is the James Ney complaint, I believe, and that concerns an incident which will be described in the following discussion.
Yes, we can. Okay. Let's take it complaint by complaint. Complaint number one.
Can I ask you something? Is it possible for us to go first? Because I'm supposed to be at work.
Which complaint?
It's the third one, so it's not in order. But
okay. Is there somebody here to speak about the second? Second,
which is Mulberry now.
No, and is there somebody? And you're going to speak about the first.
Yes.
Do you mind?
No, I will.
Thank
okay.
you, Robert.
Sure.
I'm going to be very late. I came to speak to you about the James Ney's complaint because I was standing directly behind James at the city council meeting where this happened, and.
And what actually happened is described later by myself. I'm going to do so briefly now since we don't have that first. The person talking is Roxana Kistapache, who's an activist and a mom, previously lived in the Beach Flats and did a lot of work to stop Canfield from taking over the Beach Flats and the BSAL plan and electing these new city council members who she now feels have betrayed us, and I think she's accurate in that estimation. But here she was supporting the sleeping ban in a March, and actually it was an April meeting in which Mayor Sugar ordered oral communications ended before it was actually supposed to end. James Ney, an activist who had led a bunch of homeless people into the room earlier, and we were all standing in line by the side of the room waiting to speak, said to the Mayor Sugar, "No, that's what about oral communications? What about the end of it?" And he was then immediately grabbed. Pain compliance, holded out of the room, his backpack taken and never returned, thrown away reportedly, held for 2 hours, and then released, all on directions from Mayor Sugar. And this is the background of this particular complaint against the police department. Interestingly enough, Ney has hired a lawyer who is considering legal alternatives, has filed a claim with the city, and the city has repeatedly delayed acting on the claim. Usually it just turns down these claims, but I think on at least two agendas it's been postponed, so I think that the city is getting nervous about James Ney's complaint. Let's hear some more.
When oral communications was cut off abruptly and sooner than they had said it was going to be, and James spoke up for it, next thing I heard, I saw Keith Sugar make a sign. Someone, an officer, came running out of the door behind the city council, and I thought he was going to go by us. I mean, I didn't know what was going on, so I stepped back behind James, who also stepped to the side. I mean, I thought there was an emergency in the back of the building. Instead, I got knocked backwards, and I heard the thunk on James' chest, as hard as you can imagine. His hands were down his side. He was just standing. I was really shocked. I didn't know what he had done. And they started pulling him, pushing him. First there was just one officer, but then there were two. One pulled him towards the patio, and then there were two. And he kept saying, "What are you doing?" He was not struggling. He just kept saying, "What are you doing?" And when I had seen him, when he came in, I had talked with him. He had a large bag over his shoulder, which he had set down there. I understand that subsequently that disappeared in talking to him. I didn't really notice his bag. I was so shocked by what was happening. And I was not only knocked backward, but I was knocked backward into my daughter, who was behind me. So that's how hard they slammed his chest. For what? For saying something the city council didn't like. You cut off oral communications. sooner than you said you were going to. The other thing that I don't understand is, supposedly he wasn't arrested. That's what they kept saying. They just detained him for a couple hours. So I don't get that part either. I don't know how people can come and just take you away and just hold you all handcuffed, you know, for any amount of time they feel like. And that was the first of two incidents like that that happened within a few weeks of each other at City Council. I don't go anymore because I feel that the police are being used like German shepherds. Anytime someone doesn't like what you say. But what I don't understand is the things that they're called in on. Why would you have to push somebody that hard, hit them in the chest that hard? Why would you have to do that when somebody's not struggling? And that, I guess that's my big concern. It didn't seem the place for it. It certainly wasn't warranted. I don't care if Keith Sugar gives the signal. There was nothing happening for the police to do that for. So I'm actually really glad this came up. The other thing that I'm really curious about is I'm on the complaint as a witness. I would not have known this was coming up tonight. No, not one person called me. What did you see? How can you possibly investigate these things if you don't even have the words from the witnesses that were there? I mean,
excuse me. Were you not contacted by the investigators?
I was not contacted by anyone ever.
So you were never talked to about it?
No. And that's my report. I think it was highly irregular, and I think it was excessive force for what, I mean, James was just standing like this with his hands at his side. I really thought the officer was going to speed past us to something real that was happening.
Have you filed a police report with us? A complaint?
No, I haven't. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew my name was probably...
Go ahead and file one.
Okay. That's fine. And my daughter also has something to say.
I was just going to say that I'm scared to go.
Alicia Gistapache speaking.
The police are arresting, so far, two people I've seen arrested, and I'm scared that either my mom or both of us are going to get hurt because they use such hard force on everyone when they shouldn't really need to because nothing's really going on.
And you don't really know what's causing it either. I mean, you don't...
Where is this being held? Where do you go to school at?
I'm homeschooled.
Where is that?
Homeschooled?
Oh, homeschooled. Okay. I'm not sure where that is. Is that in the city limits?
No, she's taught at home.
Oh, that. Okay, that's
private.
Right.
Okay.
She's in a public program.
She came to city council that night.
She comes to... Yeah.
Do you mind?
No. She comes to city council as part of her homeschooling, actually. I've been doing it for 2 years, but we don't.
Okay.
I mean, they've accomplished what they wanted to accomplish if it's intimidation, because...
You wish to talk about this?
Yeah, okay. Just a parallel to that with Davis Silva.
Yeah, that's the
happened.
Second one.
You know, it was a real abduction. This is very, very bad when we can't go to our democratic institution.
And we interrupt this discussion at the Citizens Police Review Board to take a quick call because we are getting to the end of our show. And it is the birthday man, Jerry Henry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Is it really true? Is it your birthday?
Yep.
Well, happy birthday. I would sing happy birthday to you, but then I would be taking up your valuable time and everybody else's.
I've been having to take a lot of telephone calls today, being exiled out of the village.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, it's the second birthday now I've been exiled.
So what you mean by exiled, of course, is that the police department and the courts and the security forces have colluded to, in essence, if you set foot inside the shopping center.
The community I live in, yeah, the shopping center.
And you've been in Aptos since you were born, right?
No, but for 25 years.
25 years, okay.
I went down to the roasting company to have... I had my birthday down there 3 years ago, or, you know, got to visit my friends down there. But it's kind of weird not being able to see your community, not being allowed in.
Now, you have hearing for retrial coming up in Department 2. When is that?
That's, I believe, the 22nd
22nd at 8:30.
Might happen at 10, but you know how it is.
Are you inviting people to come on down?
Yeah, it's a free public courtroom that they ought to be interested. They might be the next public nuisance.
But no refreshments will be served.
No, I don't think they're going to. The DA's office, they might be having refreshments.
They're not very refreshing. I think they're kind of the opposite. Have you been spending much time? I've seen you occasionally down in the Pacific Garden. I guess not really true anymore. The Pacific Cement Mall.
Yeah.
The Pacific Video Camera Mall, where you get surveilled by cameras outside New Leaf. Have you got any reports from Pacific Avenue for us?
I haven't gotten a response from my audition to that camera down there in front of New Leaf. I've been auditioning every time I've been down there.
Well, all of us are every time we walk by. It's quite.
Well, I was kind of hoping I was going to make the cast, you know, the Slammer Cruise.
Well, you already have been given, of course, the $100,000 prize twice, so...
Yeah.
You know, I want to invite you, if you're in town today, to come to the Arnie Leff kickoff rally.
I've got... My village is coming up here to see me.
No, you've got a birthday party going.
Not a party, but we're going to kick around the garden and...
Well,
go in the village, so...
Well, listen, give my regards to your mom and your grandmom and any other people hanging around.
Yeah, all those people really responsible for all this, you know?
Yeah, I think they are the real criminals.
They bore this public nuisance.
You are indeed one of the public nuisance that I love.
Yeah, you're gonna be that, you know, I'm sure they're getting ready to put that one on you if they get it over on me.
I'm trying to get, you know, the title, but I still think you're the champ.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Jerry.
I want to wish Steve good luck in that city council.
Hey, keep doing it and keep us advised as to what you've learned on the streets.
Yeah, well, I've been down to St. Francis a lot, and it's coming along good. We're getting that place fixed up a little.
Sounds good. You volunteer time, and you also do food projects, things of that sort.
Yeah. So I'm in that respect. I'm still moving some.
Good. Don't let the bastards grind you down, as we say.
We'll see you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye bye.
That, of course, was Jerry Henry, who worked with Feed the People, feeding many people every day until he was shut down by harassment from the courts at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. He's currently, as I said, awaiting a decision from the court, and the hearing is coming up in late September, September 24th, I believe he said, at 8:30 or perhaps 10 o'clock, he wasn't sure, in Department 2. Call 423-HUFF for more information and more updates on that. Returning now to the complaint about excessive force by Officer Mark Eveleth, and I guess there's another officer, Sergeant Vogel, was also part of that complaint, although I don't think he was the one who did the excessive force, but he was part of the whole process, and there was another officer as well. I may be wrong about Sergeant Vogel. Definitely Officer Eveleth is one of the officers against whom James Nay's complaint from April at the city council meeting was against whom it was directed.
Express ourselves.
Anybody else on this complaint?
I was also at City Council that day, and I was a witness.
This is Becky Johnson speaking.
Which I'm sure is pretty extensive, because it includes interviews with people outside after James was arrested.
And we haven't seen that tape, and the investigator has not seen that tape.
And we have community TV.
Had made a dub for James that included a shorter portion of the tape. This actually covers more.
Does the tape actually show him being arrested?
Yes.
Or detained? It does. That tape does. Okay.
It does. I was standing behind the city clerk on the podium videotaping the meeting, and when my attention was drawn to some sort of altercation or something that was happening to the left, and so I turned my camera around that way, and that was when I became aware that James was being arrested. It was a surprise to me, and I didn't know why he would have been arrested, since he was just standing in line to speak.
Were you on the as one of the witnesses on the complaint? Do you recall?
Yes, I was.
And did police investigator talk to you about
No. I have filed other complaints, and they have called or sent a letter in the past, but I don't think they did on this particular complaint.
But you're not sure?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And right here, and that's Arnie Leff questioning Becky Johnson, she's made a statement, and she said the police didn't call her, and you see Arnie Leff saying, but you're not sure. It almost sounds like he's an attorney for the police department in this situation. And indeed, I'm going to jump the suspense here since we may not have time to finish this complaint hearing. What they did on this complaint was they didn't decide to hold a public hearing and then start asking the witnesses and the officers what happened in a public way. They've never done that, though they've always had the power to do that. Instead, they sent it back to the police department to have the police department investigate it further. That's what they did with this complaint. Continuing again with the Citizens Police Review Board's hearing of August 28th, I believe it was, at the Office of the Citizens Police Review.
What struck me, not only in addition to what Roxanne was saying, and I did see Roxanne and Alicia there that night, you can see clearly on the tape that he had some valuables with him that were not booked into evidence or returned to him. But he was held for close to 2 hours in custody, in handcuffs. I did see the marks on his wrists afterwards. They were pretty deep indentations and red marks on his arms from being held in the handcuffs the entire time. They didn't take him down to the station. They just took him into the room and back of the city council chambers. He reported there were 22 police officers there that night.
22.
And he said that it was cruel and inhumane because they made him watch the show. But he was also released, and he was not cited or arrested or given a court date or anything like that. In fact, I think it was Sergeant Vogel sent him a piece of paper that specifically stated that he was not under arrest, and so that he could document that in whatever way. The other thing that's interesting is that Sergeant Vogel told a number of people, including Lucy Chemnitzer, that he had been told ahead of time, before the meeting even started, that by Mayor Kiesiger, that that he had devised some sort of a signal, and that at his signal that two officers that knew James Nay were supposed to go and take him and remove him from the chambers. So it does, Sergeant Vogel told a number of people that night that this was largely prearranged. You can see on the tape what James Nay allegedly did to warrant being taken into custody, if that's apparent to you. There were a lot of people that were upset at Mayor Sugar's abruptly shutting off oral communications, and there's some argument about that from several people. It doesn't appear that James Nay was being more obstreperous than anybody else there. There were other people that were making remarks from the audience, too.
Did you interview anybody outside the chambers on your tape?
Yes. After James Nay had been taken into custody, we did go and I did interview people who had, and they told what they had witnessed.
And we had this tape for a while.
I want it back.
Yes.
Is that the only copy?
It's not the master.
Okay, that's it. No, we'll get it back here. But
did I ask you for if you had a tape, or did they talk to you at all? The police?
They did not.
I'm sorry, I'm not on the board, and I'm asking questions. I'm sorry. Okay.
You should be sorry.
I thought she answered that.
I'm sorry.
I know community television had a tape, too.
Yeah, we watched it.
It's got a wonderful
anything
pie presentation on there, too.
I've got some remarks. And I also, James Nay could not be present tonight because he works. He asked me to give you a tape of his testimony, which is brief.
Unfortunately, we're out of time on this James Nay complaint. Interesting stuff, and I, of course, give a fine rendition of myself. We're going to be returning on Thursday at 6 p.m. Bathurst Spears Broadsides at 96.3 FM is what you're listening to, Civil Rights for the Poor. Invite you to come to the Arnie Leff Forum today from, the kickoff rally from 12 to 3 at the Adobe, Tonight, Emily Riley will be throwing out her campaign literature 5 to 7 at 660 Escalona. Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, Board of Soups, 5th floor. Come on down with Steve Argue and let's tell them to finally open up some safe sleeping places. And finally, let's tell that damn city council what we think of it. Come on down at 7 o'clock at city council on Tuesday night. There's lots of other things happening. We're going to be actually there at noon on Tuesday talking to the city council in closed session. But that's another story, and unfortunately, story time is over. I should say story time is beginning with the little red hen. So come on down here and stay with us while the little red hen gives you a different perspective on things. Thanks for being with us on Bathrobe's Piers Broadsides.